Hi, this is Dan Steele with your WASA Legislative Report for Monday, March 8th. Last week, the 2021 legislative session hit its midpoint and we inched closer to budget releases and the multiple in-game negotiations that will be necessary to adopt priority bills and budgets in order to adjourn on time, scheduled for April 25th. Since before the session began, one of the key issues of legislators was to ensure schools would reopen to in-person instruction. Several bills have been introduced to require schools to open when certain criteria are met, and while they haven't moved, it has sparked a lot of conversation. I should note the one bill, Senate Bill 5037, was heard in committee early in the session, but wasn't otherwise acted upon. In addition to the many bills that simply are cluttering committees' inboxes, there have been many, many attempts to amend moving bills with requirements to reopen. Most of those amendments have been introduced by Republicans, and most of them have been rejected out of hand. As session progresses, however, this is moving from what often looked like a Republican PR stunt to a more serious and sometimes successful effort, with minority Democrats acquiescing to the Republican demands. This finally hit a high point this session, which we'll discuss in a moment. Another issue that continues to grow in importance and prominence is learning loss or learning recovery. This, too, is an issue that is becoming a bipartisan effort. The various education associations have many issues on their legislative agendas, and it remains unclear how successful we'll be at the end of April. But it seems assured there will be a significant investment to support students in learning recovery. A third issue that is hanging like a cloud over all legislative discussions, in particular K-12 issues, is the matter of federal funds. President Biden's American Rescue Plan, his $1.9 trillion stimulus package, was passed out of the Senate on Saturday and, due to necessary amendments, was returned to the House for final action. They are expected to adopt the bill tomorrow, Tuesday, March 9th. President Biden, then, is expected to quickly sign the bill, likely before the end of the week. The package includes almost $130 billion for K-12 education, with just under $2 billion, that is $1.95 billion, expected to be allocated to Washington. As we've mentioned before, this is a classic good news and bad news scenario. This would be a significant influx in cash, or technically reimbursements to be more accurate, for school districts to help them out of a fiscal hole caused by the pandemic. Any type of life preserver is beneficial if you're drowning. Unfortunately, there is a downside to the availability of these funds. First, similar to ESSER I and ESSER II, the third round of ESSER funds will not be provided to all school districts. Districts with low or no Title I enrollment will be left behind. We have fought for these districts to be provided with equitable resources provided to other districts from ESSER II funds, and will continue to argue for equitable treatment for these districts as ESSER III funds arrive. Second, many legislators were reticent to provide assistance to struggling school districts prior to ESSER II or ESSER III, and they will be even more reluctant to support school districts with the belief that all your financial troubles are over with this influx of federal funds. Third, much of the ESSER III funds are essentially being spent before they arrive. This goes back to the previous point. Legislators are looking at these federal funds as an unnecessary windfall for districts and are, or will be, requiring districts to use ESSER funds to solve fiscal problems without support of state funds. If the American Rescue Plan was solely focused on K-12 education, we might understand the thought process. The truth is, however, the state of Washington is expected to receive its own windfall of over $4 billion just for the support of state government. This is on top of additional funds for child care services, unemployment benefits, emergency assistance of families and children, Medicaid, and public health, just to name a few of the many, many programs and services that will be supported by the new stimulus package. So that's a 30,000-foot view of where we are. Now let's talk about some specifics. Remember, the legislators have been in their respective chambers for almost 2 weeks as they debate and adopt original House bills. That is, House bills out of the House and Senate bills out of the Senate. The House of Origin cutoff arrives tomorrow, Tuesday, March 9th, at 5 p.m. Then legislators will return to committee work for about 3 weeks, hearing and moving bills from the opposite house. Last week's This Week in Olympia newsletter walked through a large list of many of the education-related bills acted upon in the last couple of weeks. For this podcast, we'll walk through the progress of our major priorities, though. First, Senate Bill 5128 to shore up pupil transportation funding was adopted by the full Senate. That's positive. We want this bill to remain alive and keep moving. Unfortunately, the bill adopted by the Senate is merely a cousin to the bill originally introduced. The bill was somewhat refined with additional provisions in the Senate Early Learning and K-12 Education Committee. Then a technical amendment was adopted in the Senate Ways and Means Committee, and the bill was on to the Senate Rules Committee for action by the full Senate. That work to perfect the bill was for naught, however. When the bill was moved to the Senate floor, a new striking amendment was waiting to be moved. The amendment gutted the original bill with its alternative transportation funding formula and available safety net funds. In its place was a new public schools emergency transportation relief account, which would be appropriated $100 million. This is significantly less than the expected need. However, that funding may wind up being too much. Why? Because the bill clearly stipulates expenditures from this new relief account can only be made to school districts if their federal funds do not completely backfill reductions. There were also three amendments adopted to the striking amendment. The first one was essentially technical and specifically declares that federal funds were intended to address transportation reductions and the new relief account was a payer of last resort. The second amendment inserted some customary budget language that requires any unused funds in the relief account at the end of the 2021-23 biennium to be returned to the general fund. The third amendment is where things got a little tricky. It prohibits school districts from receiving relief account expenditures, quote, if the school or school district meets the minimum parameters for in-person learning recommended by the Department of Health, but does not offer in-person learning at or above the recommended level, end quote. This is one of those amendments mentioned earlier to require school districts to reopen. It was sponsored by a Republican, but was accepted by Democrats. It was adopted on a voice vote, so it's unclear who actually supported or opposed the amendment, but Democrats, who have the overwhelming majority in the Senate, could have asked for a division or a roll call and defeated the amendment, if they wanted to. The issue did cause some tension in the Democratic caucus, and the bill ended up being adopted with a 35-14 vote. It's a fairly strong supportive vote. However, more Republicans voted for the bill than Democrats did. It is unclear how this will play out in the end. However, the bill made it out of the Senate before cutoff and continues to live. We are concerned about the current version of the bill, but certainly continue to strongly support the underlying issue, that is shoring up pupil transportation funding for the remainder of this school year and ensuring stable funding in the next school year. We encourage you to continue to engage with your legislators, sending them this simple message along with your district stories as examples of the need. An update on our other major priority, enrollment stabilization. As we mentioned before, the vehicle for enrollment stabilization, House Bill 1476, was stripped down in the Appropriations Committee. The current version of the bill only provides protections for school district levy capacity. The remaining issues needing stabilization, including general apportionment, and the many programs that are enrollment-based, will be addressed in the budget. We continue to work with legislators to make sure these issues don't fall off the table as legislators are crafting budget proposals, and we encourage you to do the same. Back to the bill. House Bill 1476, to protect levy capacity, passed the full House this afternoon, Monday, March 8th. Passage is positive, and its overwhelming majority vote of 90-7 is also very positive. There was a bit of a bump, however. As with Senate Bill 5128, amendments are awaiting House Bill 1476 to require schools to provide in-person learning. Two amendments, which you can read about in last week's TWEO, were withdrawn, with a new third one being adopted. The amendment states, in order for districts to collect their full levies as called for in the bill, those school districts must be open for in-person instruction to all students. Open for in-person instruction is defined as at least 40 hours of in-person instruction per month. This would be required by the start of the 2021-22 school year. The hope is that, by September, school districts will be able to at least meet these minimum requirements. We will continue to work with senators, however, to see if this amendment is necessary to hang in order for the bill to be adopted. More details about these priority bills, other bills, and other issues is available in WASA's legislative newsletter, This Week in Olympia, or TWEO. Finally, just a reminder that budget writers are crafting their budget proposals right now, and now is the time to remind your legislators, as well as those budget writers, about your needs and your requests for the budget, in particular enrollment stabilization and transportation funding protections. The revenue forecast will be released on March 17th. After that point, it is assumed that budget proposals will be locked down, if not sooner. So please remain engaged throughout the course of the session, especially in the next couple of weeks. Thank you for listening.